The Reverend Spencer Burke has been a leader in progressive Christianity for decades, going beyond simply working for a more inclusive or just vision of religion. He has relentlessly been at the forefront of reinventing faith communities and spaces as well as ministry. With a multi-month program underway leading up to Solarize 2021 gatherings in October, I am intrigued to welcome him to State of Belief Radio. Spencer, it's great to have you with us.
Well, thank you. I so appreciate it. It's great to be with you.
Solarize 2021. You're calling it a hybrid learning party. It's been underway now since June. So talk about what all of that means, if you would.
Yeah, well, so the title Soul Arise, you know, S-O-U-L-A-R-I-Z-E. And it's a play on the word of kind of a photographic term of how everything seemed to have been so black and white. But then 20 years ago, when we started Solarize as a pop-up event, we realized that things were not so black and white. Things were a little bit more gray. And that was the technique of it. And so Solarize has been a pop-up event over the last 20 years. The first one we did was kind of at such a time as this. It was just less than 30 days after the 9/11 incident. And we felt like, you know, we gathered people together, and we had 30 Native American tribes represented that did a Native American potlatch. We had a film festival. We had a whole number of different things. So this year, we decided to revive it because it felt like it again after COVID and everything else. It was such a time as this. And so again, we asked why and how. And really, the why was, I think we needed to be together, you know. Mm-hmm. And we realized a lot of people couldn't come together physically for a variety of reasons. And so we said, well, why don't we do a hybrid, which is both and. You know, which again, I think postmodernism, the whole thing has always been a little bit more about both and. You know, it's not just church in a building or church outside a building. You know, it's the church. And Solarize in the same way is taking that on, so that we really want to be able to invite people who won't be willing to travel, but can join us anywhere in the world through the app, or they could be with us in person in Fullerton in October 21st, 2nd, and 3rd.
So for whom are you doing Soul Arise? And for those who want to be on, how do they get on?
So Soul Arise has always been for what we call spiritual innovators. So if you think about the innovation curve, you know, it's just a little hill kind of an idea. At the front end, you have the innovators, which are about 3% of the population. And then they have the early adopters, which is about another 13%. So 16% of the population tend to be in those early adopters and also innovators. And so that's who Solarize has always reached. So these are people who feel like they've not really fit in the past, or they've been a little bit ahead, you know, where they've been talking about things and 5 years later, people in the spirit community might be talking about them. So it's really designed for people who are looking for a community of people who are thinking about doing faith works in a little different way. This year, we've expanded it. So traditionally, it's been kind of within just the Christian tradition. But this year, we have Rabbi Babchuk, who's running our startup pitches, and he's out of Glean, an incubator out of Manhattan. We have a number of people that are coming in from different worldviews to connect in. So we think it's more about faith rather than strictly Christianity. Like, we can learn so much from our brothers and sisters who are doing faithful spiritual work throughout whatever place they may find themselves. And the way that people can connect is real simply utilizing the app. You can go to Solarize, S-O-U-L-A-R-I-Z-E.live, L-I-V-E, Solarize.live. And for $19.95, you can join the conversation from anywhere in the world.
Spencer, what kind of impact have you seen this work have on faith leaders and communities over the years?
Well, so it's kind of fun to be able to look back after 20 years. And I left the megachurch world about then, and I just ventured out. We started a little website called theooze.com, which was gathering people who were having these conversations. And then we thought, you know, how about if we gathered people together in a one place offline? And so we, those who had the luxury of traveling did that. And so 20 years ago, we had Brian McLaren, who was just a pastor, and he was looking and thinking about these things and testing his ideas, and he'd written a few books. Then also I had been doing some work with the Enneagram with Father Richard Rohr, and so I invited him. And Brian and Richard had never met each other. In fact, it was the first time Father Rohr had been to an evangelical event. And so they met, and they tell the story about that. It's so fun. And so it's been a place where we've invited people to test their ideas. It's kind of prototyping, right? It's coming in and saying, will this stick? And I'd remind everybody that every orthodoxy starts with a heresy. Now, not every heresy becomes orthodoxy. And so a lot of our workshops, I don't know if you heard the latest Christianity Today deal on how Mars Hills die or whatever with Mark Driscoll idea, but in the show, they interviewed me and they pivot Mark's downfall at Solarize in Seattle 20 years ago. That was the time where, whoops, this is not something we should be a part of. So Solarize really is a place where there's a wide variety of viewpoints and ideas. And those that last, like a Richard Rohr or a Brian McLaren or a number of people who have kind of tested out. In fact, so many of their workshops have become books. Or so many of their relationships, you know, conferences, you meet in the hallway. That's usually the best thing. You never really remember a keynote speaker. Yeah. But so many of those relationships that were built just in the hallways or out over a drink or at lunch or whatever really ended up creating whole new organizations that today we think of as just the middle of the road. Where back then, they were the cutting edge things that were happening.
Humane spirituality. I love the phrase. Talk about the theme, if you would.
So we have never really done a theme before. It's always been just come and gather. We called it a learning party, right? And people gathered together. But this year we thought, you know what? We need to not just have a conversation. We need to take action. We need to really begin to develop people and programs and ideas that have legs that can move out into the world with love, care, and compassion. So the theme this year is humane spirituality. And the way I loosely define it right now is humane spirituality restores human dignity to both the oppressed and the oppressor. So it's not one-sided. It's the idea, because I think social entrepreneurism really can go in and just change the unjustness of the world, but maybe not look at our own selves. Spiritual entrepreneurism or spiritual innovation really comes by a point where we sit down and ask ourselves. The reason why I've chosen the idea of humane spirituality is, I don't know about you, but I wrote a book a number of years ago called Heretic's Guide to Eternity. Right. Got me in a lot of trouble with questioning whether there's heaven and hell and all that stuff, right? But now I'm confused with the idea of sin. You know, like, it's so difficult because in the last 4 years, I've watched a number of my friends call something sin that I thought was good. And then they'd call something, you know, good that I thought was absolute sin. And it was a wild place where I go, wait a minute, we can't even agree on what's evil or sin in this world. And so I thought, you know what? It really gets down to human dignity. And so a humane spirituality looks at an individual and we ask not the question whether it's sin or not sin, biblical, not biblical, whatever. We really get down to the idea of human dignity. Is it really restoring human dignity? And we look and we say, that action feels to me like it's inhumane. And I think we all kind of generally, when we get past the politics and the theology, we can settle in there and go, ouch, that hurts my soul. That takes away from another human being who's created in the image of God. That destroys that image, you know. And then when we watch And we get a tear in your, I don't know if you know, like I allow myself to kind of weep in movies and other things, you know, and it's usually at points where just deep human dignity is restored to another human being. And that I say is good, you know, and so that's our theme.
So Spencer, in a nutshell, why should someone hearing this decide to get involved with Solarize 2021?
Well, there's two different ways that I think people play. Right now, we're gathering all of the workshops and the keynote speakers, as well as arts, as well as startup pitches. And so people can actually submit their own work. It's created by and for the community itself. So right now, people could go to solarize.live and actually apply to host a village in their own community. They can actually put up artwork, whether it's a short film, music, spoken word. And then if their application is accepted, and virtually anyone who fits in the theme of humane spirituality will be accepted, then they'll be able to put up their pitch area, you know, their pitch page. And that's where everybody gets all this exposure and beauty and wonder, and people can respond and play. That's starting today. That was actually June 1st. But right now, people are already putting in their pitches and workshops and ideas. Then from there, we'll select the ones that'll be part of the mainstreaming program that'll go worldwide October 21st, 2nd, and 3rd. But the second half of people are people who just don't have the time to do that, but really want to hear and see some of the latest ideas swirling around, and maybe even find, you know, conversation partners or collaborative groups to be involved in cohorts. Yeah. And so they can join in. Everything will be posted by September 27th. And so the event really starts on the 27th. One of the beautiful parts is that people come in and watch the workshops ahead of time. So really the live program is actually a place in which people are in conversation, not necessarily just watching a dead video.
Spencer Burke is a longtime spiritual innovator and organizer. His books include A Heretic's Guide to Eternity and Making Sense of Church. You can learn more about the global learning party we've been discussing at solararise.org, and we'll link to that from stateofbelief.com. Spencer, this is really interesting, and I appreciate you being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Well, thank you so much for your work. I so appreciate it.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. Your donations help keep us on the air. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift as we celebrate 15 years of continuous broadcasting. Information on how to donate is available at stateofbelief.com. That's stateofbelief.com. Stay up to date by subscribing to the free weekly State of Belief podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform, and take a moment to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Be a part of the conversation. Social media helps connect like-minded people in conversation and company. I'd ask you to share State of Belief with just one person this week. One person for whom you think this might be helpful. Our producer is Ray Kirstein. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And be sure to join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That's State of Belief.
The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. You see, Welton.